Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Jerry Jones getting booed at the World Cup game. Must have been some Cowboys fans who were interested in going, or, you know, are also Spain or France fans. Spain did beat France 2-0 in today's semifinal out there at AT&T, and Jerry Jones crossed that off his bucket list.
Yeah, congratulations, though, and just congratulations. I'm not going to act like I know everybody who is on the committee for the DFW for the career, Dan Hunt being one of them, though. I know he was on with the guys. But congratulations to that group for putting on a great tournament here. I
think we did a hell of a job.
We had nine games, you know, and just the can-do attitude of those people, you know. They did a great job. I'm sorry I didn't get out there and see a match or two, but, man, what a great host. That city
without a hitch, man.
Yeah, they did a great job.
They're already talking about maybe getting it back for 2030, just because the number.
Can we do that? Or 38?
Is it 20? I think it's 2030.
Can they get 2030?
That's 2032.
Yeah, they have to. I think the next
2038.
I think the next.
Oh yeah,
two,
you're right. My
the next
bad.
Two
yeah.
are spoken for. I think.
Yeah, I'm back in 2016.
Yeah,
brain.
I think Saudi Arabia is the one after this.
2038. You're right. Yeah, I don't know how I was thinking 2030. Yeah. Math was off there a little bit.
I was trying to think
but,
how old I would be at that point.
Yeah, in just a couple of World Cup cycles from now, because there's not that many countries that are apparently interested in building the stadiums and the infrastructure that it takes. So
we got them all.
Maybe we're going to lock into a cycle of just going to countries that don't have to build any extra buildings.
Yeah.
Which Cowboys players will likely exceed expectations in 2026 is the conversation right here. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. We were just talking about DeMarvey and Overshown. I think sentiment is so down on him now that if he would have a good year, that would be considered exceeding expectations.
Yeah.
This is kind of his last shot, isn't it?
I would say that, I would say that they're in that mode. He's got a contract year, too, believe it or not. And so I would think that if it doesn't work out for him, that, it's just going to be one of those, a player with a lot of promise, but injury robbed him of opportunity. So, I think he's at the crossroads right now.
What if he has an all-pro year and he wants to hit market value?
Probably get tagged.
17, okay. Yeah, you're probably right on that one, unless they got to use the tag for Pickens again.
Yeah, but I think they would. If Overshown proves he can have an all-pro, well, maybe, you know, but again, like, yeah, he made it 17 or 18 games, and yeah, he was healthy. Do you buy into that again, or you, like, ride it one more time thinking, well, he made it this time around. I don't think he's ever going to get the benefit of the doubt on this injury stuff.
No.
Until he has a couple years where he's not being hurt.
Yeah, it would take a couple of years of not being hurt for me to believe that, okay, you just had bad luck. But I remember when they re-signed Sean Lee in 2014 or whatever it was, and he'd been in the league for 3 or 4 years, and half the time he was hurt. But the player and the agent in that situation were like, okay, we don't need market value for the top of the linebacker position because we've been hurt. So I need those kind of players to work with me or a little bit, or you can go get hurt for somebody else. Is the way that I would approach that, and maybe he'd be willing to do a team-friendly deal to stay with the Cowboys or to reward them for their patience and belief in him through those injuries. But I'm not in the habit of drafting injured guys in the first or second round or paying them at the top of their position. But which Cowboys players will likely exceed expectations was the topic that RJ Ochoa tackled from Blogging the Boys. Who would you pick here, Chief? Who would you say a Cowboys player that you believe is going to exceed expectations would be?
I don't know why I'm crossing my fingers a little bit on Jaden Blue. And he doesn't have to do much to exceed expectations, but I do think they will find a way to get him in the offense and hopefully add that element of explosiveness. So I'm going to go Jaden Blue. The bar is really low for him,
yeah.
So it won't be too hard for him to exceed expectations, but I do think he would be one of those guys. And if Tyler Guyton can stay healthy, I think Tyler Guyton will be solid.
Yeah, because the expectations have bottomed for him.
Yes.
Nobody thinks he can stay healthy or play well. But, yeah, I think year three, that would be amazing. I keep coming back to what Brian talked about with Jaden Blue a couple of weeks ago, where could you make Javonte Williams your third down back and get Jaden Blue more involved? And if last year in camp we were so excited about him, and then it was just one disappointment after the other with the injuries and the inactives.
Yeah.
But if I could snap my fingers and make that come true, like camp and preseason in September was so good for Jaden Blue, we're talking about him as the starter, you'd have to reimagine everything. You know, with how devastating this offense can be, I think you're kind of letting teams off the hook not having a home run hitter with how many light boxes they are giving you and the opportunity to get up to speed and, you know, make those big chunk plays. It's there. I just don't think Javonte Williams has enough athleticism for it.
How about Siobhan Revelle?
That would be awesome. And I think,
is he on that list?
Expectations, at least for me, are as low as they've been since he was drafted.
Sure.
He didn't make RJ's list.
He did not make the list?
Yeah, no, maybe he should. He only put three guys on the list.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he had a multiple list of guys here.
No, I mean, I think that's a good name because as a third-round pick was injured and played so poorly, I think a lot of people believe. I mean, I was tweeting about him over the weekend, and I can't tell you how much engagement of negativity I got back on this. Like, this is nothing, right? Sure. This guy is he's a bum. He's a never was. He's a
Revelle?
Shouldn't have drafted him. Yeah.
Oh.
You know, there are some people that still want to believe,
sure,
that maybe predicted greatness, but I think the fan sentiment is down on him. I would say Deron Bland because the negativity about his injury I think is unfounded. I think you're looking at a broken bone. Those things, when they heal, they're healed. It's not like an Achilles or a patella. You know, like Jermod McCoy struggling to come back from a torn ACL, or maybe Savone Revelle struggling to come back from a torn ACL. And when those hairline fractures re-break, it's very annoying because you got to be without your guy for 2 years. Yeah. And it feels like this is a new career.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Defining moment. But what really actually has to happen is calcium has to fill in the cracks. And then the player is as good as he was. So I absolutely think Deron Bland can be a starting caliber corner. And if you get the turnover plays from him, then, you know, Pro Bowl is still possible with Deron Bland.
Yeah, I mean, I will be pleasantly surprised if that ends up happening. I mean, I was so put off by what he did last year, and I know that he was probably hobbled, but coming off the injury, then you had that Ted Wynn article a few weeks ago about maybe he doesn't really fit with what Christian Parker wants to do. I'm nervous about Bland.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's something that I can't account for right now. Like, is he going to be such a bad scheme fit? But I think Christian Parker will be flexible enough to find what he does well now. Maybe somebody emerges from the depth chart, you know, like a Devin Moore. That'd be exciting if you get the rare, you know, non first or second round pick defensive back step in there and be something for you. And Deron Bland's not needed, but I do think Deron's going to exceed expectations. I would say Malik Davis has a chance to do this just because he's kind of the forgotten man in that running back room. Donovan Ezeraku has a chance to do it, but the players RJ Ochoa looked at: Tyler Booker, Kenny Clark, Rashawn Gary. Brian, which one of those three names most stands out to you in the context of this discussion?
They're all, like, I would say that probably Gary's the one I would think about the most. Because I don't think people think that he could really rush the passer. I think people believe that Booker can play.
You know, yeah, I mean, the bar is already pretty high for Booker at this point.
Booker will be a guy that will be in the top, likely when they have the guard rankings next year, he'll probably be in the top 10. I think there's a lot of people that believe that Gary can play the run. I don't think they have any hope that he can really play the rush the passer, but I think he can. I think he's going to exceed expectations as a pass rusher for this team.
That would be exceptional. I do feel like Rashawn Gary is going to exceed expectations, you know, just contributing to the run defense.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about the possibility now of having four guys down in there that can handle it so well that maybe you're not piling up stats. Mm. Maybe it's not explosive plays in the backfield, but we're doing such a good job of restricting their run game with four that it opens up things for the linebackers and the defensive backs so much that, you know, you're not dominating in the sack department. But heck, you know, I don't know if Rashawn Gary ever had the defensive tackle play that he is. You know, Kenny Clark was nice. They played him more as a nose tackle. But now you're putting Quinnen Williams next to Kenny Clark. Like, the amount of pressure they're going to get, maybe it frees up Rashawn to have his best pass rushing season.
I think Kenny Clark is just going to be a good player. I think Kenny Clark's probably best days are behind him.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when Kenny Clark was like a Pro Bowl player. I don't think Kenny Clark's a Pro Bowl player anymore. But I think that, to me, expectations for him to be very steady, to, you know, to play the scheme because he understands that he's played in the scheme before. But I think that Kenny Clark gets wore down now. We've seen it 2 years ago because of the toe injury last year because of how many reps he had to play.
Yeah.
I think Kenny Clark is a good player. I think we've seen the best of him.
A little less of him, you think?
Yeah.
A little more Abonia.
A little bit more of you're going to have to play him because – every time we think about playing Jay Toia or Bonio or one of these guys, Bullard or whatever, it's kind of like how big of a drop-off as it is at that position. I still think Kenny Clark is going to have to play a lot of snaps, and by week probably 14 we'll be going, gosh, he's played a lot of snaps. So I think he's a good player. I just don't see a Pro Bowl player anymore.
How would you guys answer the question, are the Cowboys going to get Quinnen Williams in the playoffs for the first time in his career? Joseph Hoyt, Morning News, tackled that story today, and he asked the question on Twitter, which active NFL player has more Pro Bowls than Quinnen Williams and also has not been to the playoffs? Active NFL player. The answer is nobody.
No one. yeah, the Jets will do that to you, man.
Yeah, and maybe there's something in the water in New York because Giants edge rusher Brian Burns is the only active player with four Pro Bowls who has yet to make the playoffs. So he's tied with Quinnen Williams. But it's a great story about him being hungry and the Cowboys trying to avoid three non-playoff seasons in a row for the first time since the Jason Garrett years. Like, there's a lot on the line for the team. There's a lot on the line for Quinnen Williams. I'm not sure what to expect. I would say first-year defensive coordinators rarely find success. We talked about this quite a bit 2 years ago with Mike Zimmer. Like, you step into a situation, it doesn't matter how good you were at your last stop for how many years in a row, you're transitioning. And the same has been true for Vic Fangio. You know, at times they've been decent in year one, but Vic Fangio's defense take a big step in year two. And, you know, that's what this comes down to. And can Javonte Williams replicate the success? I feel like you are on thin ice as much as we can hope for Jaden Blue or Malik Davis. Javonte Williams has been an injury-prone player. And if you fall off a cliff at running back and now you're not a threat there at all, it's going to make it easy for them to sit in those shells.
Yeah, I mean, a big key is going to be the offensive line staying healthy for them. Because last year, I saw the numbers on it. I think they only had their starting five, as we know it, only played 24% of the snaps together last year.
Yeah.
Too many shuffling injured guys in and out of the offensive line. If they can keep that line healthy, which is a big if, but if they can do that, that'll go a long way for Williams.
How good are the Eagles going to be? I don't think we have great answers to that. They're trending down.
Yes.
Could they be worse than what they were last year? Absolutely. If Mekhi Lemon isn't great and, You know, their players can't step up. That's a massive loss to lose A.J. Brown. I do believe, though, Washington can be significantly better. What they brought in defensively, I think their offensive line getting healthy with Sam Cosmi. Jaden Daniels, he was working magic his rookie year.
He was unbelievable.
He does need to figure out how to stay healthy, but I don't think you got to flush the idea of Washington figuring things out here with Dan Quinn maybe being on the hot seat a little bit. He brought in that Durante Jones to incorporate some Brian Flores into his defense.
It's just the weapons, I think, for Washington right now. It's Terry McLaurin and, like, not much else.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. It's pretty rough.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.